This is Amerinds. Hi again, and welcome to episode 65 of the Amerinds podcast for Tuesday, January 22nd, 2008. My name's Arthur, and I'm a gay American now living in New Zealand. Today's episode is called Sweet and Sour, because that's a bit of what today is. I'm just coming off celebrating my birthday. It was yesterday, although technically it's still today in America, but anyway. But it's also the day where New Zealand farewelled Sir Edmund Hillary. His state funeral was held today. And I'm going to talk about that first and then move on to talking about my birthday so that I can end up this episode on sort of a positive note, a lighter note. And of course, Sir Edmund Hillary is best known for scaling Mount Everest along with Sherpa Tenzing. And on May 29, 1953, he stood on top, the first human being to do so. And he had other exploits over the years. He helped found Scott Base in Antarctica. He drove tractor to the South Pole, the first person to drive a vehicle to the South Pole. And he was also New Zealand's High Commissioner to India, which is an ambassador in the Commonwealth, and also had responsibility for Nepal. But he had a lifelong commitment to Nepal and the people of Nepal, and the Sherpas in particular. At the time of his death, he's definitely regarded as the greatest living New Zealander. And since he's died, there have been several people who've said he's the greatest New Zealander of all time. And it may be a bit premature to say that sort of thing, but the one thing that is certain is that he was the best-known New Zealander who ever lived, even if there's some people who didn't realize he was a New Zealander, but never mind. He was a quiet and unassuming man, really, very, very modest. He didn't live in a mansion. He didn't. He could have had a lot of commercial endorsements, but he didn't sell out. Although he did, for a long time, have an arrangement with Sears Roebuck, and the money went to his Himalaya Trust to help the people in Nepal. He personally didn't become wealthy because of his exploits or his fame, and that's part of, I think, what endeared him to so many people. But throughout his life, his phone number was listed in the phone book. You know, obviously the most famous New Zealander, and he was listed as an ordinary person. I know that a teacher that I know was doing some sort of class project. I can't remember what it was now, but she rang him up to ask if he would come and speak to her class, and he said sure, so he did. And I heard a story today on the radio about a schoolboy who was doing a report on the Mount Everest expedition, and he was trying to get information, couldn't quite get there, and his father said, well, why don't you ring up Sir Edmund Hillary? Or Sir Ed, as everybody calls him. And so the schoolboy did. He spoke to him on the phone and said, well, why don't you come around and I'll help you with your project? And that's the sort of man he was. He especially valued people who gave things a go and had a try at getting something accomplished. Whether they did or not wasn't the point. The point was that they tried. And there are a lot of people who admired that. He was certainly admired and respected. I heard it said today, in some of the commentary and the television coverage of his funeral, that he commanded respect, but he never demanded it. And that sounds like just semantics, but it's really true. There was something about his presence, his aura, the weight of his accomplishments that made ordinary people instantly respect him, but he never put on airs or graces. He never demanded any sort of attention. He just was Ed, basically, which is why so many New Zealanders still refer to him as Sir Ed and not Sir Edmund Hillary, his formal name. But he was really remarkable. I never met him personally, although I obviously know people who did. But I can't imagine anybody I can't think of anybody else, certainly not New Zealand, and I doubt very much in America either, and probably not in a great many countries, who were so universally loved, admired, and respected as Sir Edmund Hillary was here in New Zealand and in other places as well. It's often said when someone great like this dies that we'll not see his like again, and I'm sure that that's true with Sir Ed. I don't think there will be another person like him, probably not in New Zealand, probably not anywhere, which is a loss to all of us, really. But I can't imagine anybody getting the kind of almost universal adulation that he's received here and also in other countries. His body laid in state in Cathedral in Auckland City, Holy Trinity. And people were lining up to file past the coffin to pay their last respect. But last night around midnight, apparently, they still had a two-hour wait, and people were quite happy to just stand there and wait. They weren't complaining. They weren't asking how long it was going to be. And some people went around and tried to pass out some water and things to try to make them more comfortable. But nobody complained. They felt they needed to do that. And in cities throughout New Zealand, people gathered in public places with large screen television to watch the coverage together, because it was a sort of a communal thing, because in a lot of ways, Sir Ed's passing was a kind of community event in itself. Sir Ed personally didn't want a lavish send-off. He didn't want a big funeral. But his wife, Lady Hillary, and other members of the family agreed to a state funeral because it would give the people of New Zealand a chance to say goodbye to someone who meant very much to them. So right now I'm going to play a little clip from the Prime Minister Helen Clark's eulogy, which I think kind of sums up a lot of what I've been trying to say.
We mourn as a nation because we know we're saying goodbye to a friend. Whether we knew Sir Ed personally, a lot, a little, or not at all, he was a central part of our New Zealand family.
There were, of course, a number of eulogies given at the funeral, including one, an excellent one by his grandson. But one of the most touching moments was actually at the end, when they were carrying his coffin out of the church. And outside the door was an honor guard of fellow mountaineers who were standing there with their ice picks raised in salute, in the same way that you might see a military honor guard with swords raised. But that's cold and impersonal because they usually don't even know the person. Whereas in this case, it seemed fitting, it seemed appropriate, and it seemed more common, a more common touch. In New Zealand, state funerals are usually reserved for prime ministers or governors general who die in office, generally. And so it's a really unusual honor for a private individual to receive a state funeral. But, I mean, for Sir Ed, there couldn't have been anything else. So that's all I really wanted to say about that. I have blogged about a little bit about some related issues, if you're really keen to find out more, which in my blog, of course, is at amarins.com. Sorry about that. I just cut this for a second there because Jake, the puppy, was dreaming in the background. You could hear him going, really quite clearly. At least I could. I just finished celebrating my birthday, of course. And yesterday, Nigel gave me my presents, which, among other things, included a new microphone, a pop filter, a mic stand, and a... I don't even know what this is called, actually, but it's what the mic goes into, it's preamp, I guess. Basically to improve the sound of my podcast, because you might remember I said I wanted to improve it. Well, I'm not quite there yet. I am using the new mic and the new setup, but I have some more refinements to make, and so the sound that you hear in this podcast, obviously it's different than the others, and I'm not quite there yet, but I will get there. Just give me a little time, and I'll get it sorted out. But obviously I couldn't wait to use the new stuff, so I had to. But even after all these years, Nigel never ceases to surprise me or amaze me, because, I mean, in the past, he has joked, mostly joked, about being a podcast or blog widow. And so I've always tried to record my podcasts while he's at work, and I do the majority of my blogging when he's not home as well, or when he's playing on his computer, so that I don't cut into our time with any of those things. So, I mean, I'm aware of that, and I do try to regulate that somewhat. So he got all this stuff for me, and I was really touched by that, because he does know that the podcasting means a lot to me. And I've got something I want to say about that a little bit later on. But it really meant a lot to me that he got that for me. But my birthday actually started on Sunday, and of course I've blogged about this as well. We had some people over and had a barbecue. Now you might think, oh yeah, barbecue, big deal. Except that for me, it's a very big deal, because this is January. And I was born in a blizzard, I'm told, and I remember several heavy snowstorms around the time of my birthday growing up. So, to me, the idea of having a hot summer barbecue is really still novel. You know, even after, however many I've had, 12 or 13 here in New Zealand, it's really novel. So, I quite like that. I quite like having a barbecue. Unfortunately, the weather didn't quite cooperate. It was extremely warm and humid, but it also rained. But there were only six of us all up, so we were able to just stay in the house and the air conditioning, and so everything was fine. But among the things that I did was I made pumpkin pie. Now, if you may remember from earlier podcasts, my saying that I hadn't had a pumpkin pie in all the years I'd been in New Zealand. And thinking about it, it must be at least 13 years, if not longer, since I last had one. It would have been at least a year before I left, because I left on Halloween of 1995, so it was pre-pumpkin season. Pre-pumpkin pie season. So I don't think I've had one for at least 13 years. And one time, as I've also said, I did try to make one from scratch from pumpkin, or actually squash, as we would call it. And it was an unmitigated disaster, probably mostly because I didn't know what I was doing. I've since gotten a recipe and to make it completely from scratch. But that one experience really made me gun-shy. Well, when I was in the U.S., my friend Reed, who actually hosted me, him and Ty, Reed gave us some tinned pumpkin, which was on special at the Jewels. If you're from Chicago, you know what that reference is. So I brought that home, and it was badly dented, and I have a photo of that on my blog as well. And so I took the most dented can, and I made pumpkin pie from it. And it ended up being really good. The crust was a bit singed in places, I have to be honest. But it wasn't actually burned. It just was a bit darker than it should have been. It had a very good tan. But it tasted perfectly, and it was really nice after all these years to have some pumpkin pie again. And eventually I'll get brave, and I'll make one completely from scratch. But I have two more tins, and the expiry date isn't until 2010. So I figure if I make one for at Thanksgiving, I can do it for this year, next year as well, before I have to worry about it. That's my thinking anyway. So the only reason I made it for my birthday is just because I could. And because I'm American, and I don't know, it all just seemed to sort of fit together somehow. So that was part of our thing when we had, you know, just usual barbecue things other than that. And so that we did that Sunday, partly because a couple of our friends were out of town on Saturday, and they were only available on Sunday, which didn't make any big deal since neither one was actually my birthday. It didn't matter. And Monday, which was my actual birthday, I did very little. I brought back some of my vinyl records with me, just a few, because they're too heavy to take all of them. God knows I wouldn't want all of them anyway. And don't even get me started on some of those records I found and thinking to myself, what the hell was I thinking? But I brought a few back with me, and the things that aren't available on CD or through iTunes or anything like that. So I spent part of the day yesterday digitizing them, you know, turning them into MP3s so that I could play them on my iPod and in iTunes and so on, or make CDs out of them for that matter. And so that was a bit of fun. But I was doing all that, not knowing, of course, what Nigel had gotten me for my birthday. And then he came home, and he made me stay in my office, and he went out and put it out, and then he had me come and look at it. I didn't know what to say. I was looking at this stuff thinking, what? Because I've talked about a lot of this stuff. I've talked about new microphones, and I've talked about some sort of audio interface and all of that. And I thought, he was like, oh, yeah, whatever. And I honestly was thinking to myself, I can't justify spending the money because it's just a hobby. I'm not making any money. I'm not planning on making any money on it. And I really can't justify it. But he didn't see it that way. He went ahead and he got it for me anyway. And so here I am. But that night we went out for dinner at our favorite Thai restaurant. And part of the reason it was chosen, to be honest, is because there aren't that many restaurants that are open on a Monday night. I have no idea why that is, but it's also difficult to find a place to have lunch on a Sunday, on a Monday as well. But it was really good. We actually had a bit too much to eat, to be honest. But then we came back and tried to fiddle around with the setup to get it working, and it took us a few goes because I don't know why, but for some reason the instructions are never as complete as they should be, I don't think. And we're still not quite there yet, but it has more to do with getting things organized and set up than it does with the actual equipment at this stage. But I will eventually get there, so fret not. But that was basically my birthday, and I've gotten a lot of, I've gotten email messages and so on. And I actually got a phone message as well, which I'm going to play right now.
Hi, Arthur. This is Bramble and
Joseph.
And we just want to give you a quick call to wish you
a happy birthday.
And we hope that you're having a good day with Mr. Nigel and hopefully spoiling your rotten for your birthday. But we just want to say happy birthday, and we're going to sing happy birthday for you. Ready, Joe? One, two, three. Happy birthday.
Thanks for that, guys. I think I'm glad that you didn't sing, actually, but not for the reason you might think. I wouldn't have to pay royalties for playing the song, but thank you very much. And as I said, I did get several emails and over the past few days. And today I had a video chat with my sister. Now, when I was in Chicago, I think I mentioned this, I can't remember. I got them a webcam and got them set up on Skype, partly because I knew that if I wanted it done, I'd have to do it. And since I was going to be there anyway, I got it all sorted. So we had a video chat today, which was kind of nice. And that's been my birthday, in a nutshell. So what I thought I would do now is go over to the comments, because I didn't have time to go over comments in the last episode, about which more in a moment. So this is actually going back to, what is this, episode 63, which was my first podcast of the year. And the first comment was from Michael in Stuttgart, who said, "Excellent show again. We missed you. I had the pleasure to visit Chicago last summer, and I liked it lots. Great place with very interesting people and with great and famous architecture. Your stories about Chicago in winter and dealing with your stuff and past were very interesting. I do agree that material things often tie us too much to the ground, and getting rid of some of them can be liberating and quite a catharsis. P.S. You ought to have now a review in the German section as well. And by the way, I was number 13 thanks to a hack in the American iTunes section, which usually does not allow foreigners, in quotes, to leave reviews. So technically I left two of them. But your show is so good, it deserves to be praised twice. And I said, "Vielen Dank. I saw both reviews. Thank you so much. Chicago is one of my favorite cities, actually, and I enjoy going there, even in winter. Well, I probably enjoy it more in summer, actually. I've been having some of that liberation since I've been back. I had things to get rid of here, too. Thanks again for the two reviews." And what that's partly referring to is that in the last podcast, I said that I had 13 reviews, but I didn't know who the 13th was yet. And the 13th was Michael. And I have actually gone to look at the iTunes review in Germany. Thank you again for that as well, Michael. And so as far as I know, at this point still, I have two foreign reviews in Australia, one in Australia by Scotty and one in Germany from Michael. And I have 13 reviews in the U.S. iTunes store, all of which was enough to push me onto the front page of the personal journals of iTunes, which I was very glad about. I was very thrilled about it, actually. And Eric, Confessions of Southern Boy in Yankee Land, even mentioned it. the thing of it is, I'm laughing because I never really paid much attention to it until he started pushing it so hard. And then I started thinking, well, maybe I should do the same. But I have to be honest, it is a thrill to be on the first page of iTunes. And thank all of you who have written reviews, because you've helped put me there. And don't stop now. If you haven't yet written me a review for iTunes, please do so, whatever country you live in, whatever store is your iTunes store. And if you don't want to do that, that's fine too. But I would appreciate it if you went to your iTunes store. It doesn't matter what country, this part doesn't matter what country. And go to the reviews that are already written. And that little thing that says, "Was this review helpful?" Click yes for each and every one. Because if there are a lot of reviews that people consider helpful, that also helps my rankings too. And that way you don't have to actually do the review yourself. You can just help me have higher rankings by saying that other people's reviews were helpful. And I haven't mentioned any of these things before, but I am also, actually I'm getting a bit ahead of myself here, but as long as I'm on the subject, I'm also on Podcast Alley, and you can vote for me there. And I'll leave that for right now. But anyway, on Podcast Alley, you can vote for my podcast. I've forgotten what they call it now. It's not a favorite, I don't think. Somebody can probably remind me later. I'm having an attack of CRS at the moment. Excuse me. But back to the comments. Archer said, "Welcome home. So glad you were able to get to the U.S. and back safely. Sorry to hear about your luggage didn't make it with you. That sucks. Did you have to go through customs with all that stuff? I can't remember if you talked about that or not. Interesting observations of the things that have changed since you were here last. And I said, "I don't think I mentioned it anywhere, actually, but I had to go through customs. I had nothing to declare in my carry-on, so it was sort of a quick x-ray and I was out. When my suitcases arrived, they too had to go through customs clearance, but Air New Zealand took care of that for me." Basically, New Zealand is really strict in customs, primarily for biohazards, people who bring in food or plant material, which could threaten the agricultural industry here in New Zealand. So if you ever do come to New Zealand, don't bring fruit, or certainly not meat or vegetables or anything like that, into the country with you. They do have amnesty bins where if you, say, have had an apple on the plane and you didn't eat it, you can throw it away as soon as you get there. But by all means, do not try to bring food into the country, because they're very severe fines, and they're less likely to be lenient now than they used to be. They take it very seriously. On the other hand, if there's something that you're not sure about that you do want to bring in, just declare it. I can tell you, you won't be allowed to bring honey into New Zealand. I know that for a fact. But a lot of foods, particularly prepared foods from the U.S., you can bring in, but you must declare it on your form, and you won't run into any problems. There are certain things you're not allowed to bring in. You're not allowed to bring in pornography unless it's already been cleared by the New Zealand censors, which is unlikely if you're buying it overseas. You can bring in DVDs and video games and things like that. And we can, with DVDs, we can play them on our machines because our machines are always multi-zoned. Games, however, tend to be zoned by region, and they may not play here. So if you think you're bringing somebody a gift, it may not necessarily work anyway. But if you bring in movies, they don't have to be classified before you bring them in, as long as it's for personal use. If you're not going to sell it or rent it or whatever, you don't have to worry about it. But as I say, the main thing that they're looking for are biohazards, and of course drugs as well. But when you are standing at the carousels waiting for your luggage to come off, and some people have to wait and wait and wait, you see these beagles being led around, and I think there's another dog as well. They're actually not sniffing for drugs, by and large. They're sniffing for food, just to make sure that you're not trying to bring any food into New Zealand, because that is a very big no-no. But as I said, I of course had to go through customs, as everybody does. They just gave my bag a quick X-ray to make sure there was no food in there, and there wasn't. If something looked like food or drugs, I suppose, they would have inspected it, or a gun, because that's also not allowed. Which is actually another digression. Sorry about that, but I just bumped the thing. But I just remembered it. One of the weirdest signs I saw. It was actually in New Zealand, and I also saw it in America. It was saying that under U.S. regulations, well, federal regulations, it said, all firearms had to be declared and sent unloaded. And I thought to myself, I'm not really happy with this idea of a firearm being on a plane at all, even in checked luggage, personally. And it just amazed me that anybody would even think about sending a firearm on a plane, loaded or otherwise. And, of course, in New Zealand, you wouldn't be able to. You can't just carry around guns willy-nilly, although I suppose there are legitimate reasons why you would be, if you're going to, say, target meat or something, target shooting meat. But it just struck me as so bizarre, because guns are just not in people's minds in New Zealand, and to see the sign in New Zealand, it was really jarring. But I'm sorry about another digression, but that happens. So that was... Those were the comments on my blog. And then over at Podomatic, Reed said, "We were glad you came to the USA, and I'm sure all your friends and family back in New Zealand are glad you were home also. Your podcasts are great, and you need to do more of them." And I said, "Thanks. I had a great time in Chicago, despite the work to be done and the quick arrangements. Thanks for the hospitality." And as I said before, I did stay with Reed, and Reed got us the pumpkin, the tin pumpkin that I brought back, and the airline did such a valiant job to try to thoroughly destroy. They failed. But, no, I had a great time in Chicago. I'm meeting with old friends. One of my friends is Tracy Tyler, who is a trans performer in Chicago. And she's been on Feast of Fools lately. And gave me a shout-out on the other day. Oh, actually, must have been earlier in the week. I can't remember now, to be honest. But anyway, on a recent episode, which I thought was really nice. And it was also kind of cool because I've certainly never been mentioned on Feast of Fools before. And I frankly don't think I'm likely to be anytime soon. But I was joking with her because she'd gotten a call from Fausto and saying, "Oh, we'd like you to come on the show with us," and whatever the day was. And I said, "And when you're there, just be sure you say, 'Yes, I'd like to say hi to my friend Arthur, who is of the Amarins podcast. That's at amarins.com." She didn't quite go that far, but at least I got my name. But no, she's great, and I had a great time visiting, and great time in Chicago. It was a really good time. But those are the comments. Now, I did want to say a word or two about the Friday episode. I forgot what week I was for a minute there. The political episode. There were some sound issues with that. And some Skype issues as well. And I did my best to try to edit them out so that it wasn't quite so obvious. I don't know how successful I was, but I did try. Now, one of the problems we had is that for some reason, Jason's Skype was slightly out of sync with ours. it was a bit of a delay. And so sometimes he couldn't hear us talking until we'd been talking for a few seconds. And we picked up on that. And both Arch and I, I'm sure, held back, avoided saying anything rather than creating the confusion of two people talking at once or three people talking at once. I'm going to look into that for the future. I think it actually might have to do with a port setting on Jason's computer, which for those of you who aren't interested in meta, it's probably so what. But I'm going to try to sort that out. But there were a few sound issues. That's also why Jason's side was relatively quiet, and Archer's was quite loud because they were in the same channel, and I couldn't separate them out. And so I apologize for any of you who were annoyed by the sound variations in that episode. There wasn't a lot I could do about it under the circumstances, and I only had a relatively short amount of time to edit it. But I did try to edit it to make it a bit more smooth than it would have been otherwise, because there were times, I'm sure, when there were huge gaps. When Archer and I were starting to say something, we'd stop. Jason would hear it, and he would stop, and then nothing, so he'd start again, and then we'd start. Oh, it's just a mess. So I tried to even some of that out, and as I said, for future episodes, I will try to get the whole Skype thing sorted out once and for all. But I also wanted to remind you that I am on MySpace, Facebook, Twitter, Flickr as well for that matter, and I have links to all of them on my blog. If you're on those services, by all means, friend me. Always looking for more friends. I'm Amrins on, Skype and iChat, or AOL Instant Messenger, actually. Say hello if you see me about. I don't get on iChat much anymore, and usually when I'm on Skype, it's to record a podcast, but not always. If if I'm available, it'll have that little green thing, and if I say not available or recording, I mean it. So, when I'm recording, I always say something on it. I either put do not disturb, or I put that I'm recording, or what have you. So you don't need to worry. If you don't see that, that means I'm not in the middle of anything, probably. And so feel free to say hi. I did actually get an email from Big Fatty. Speaking of comments, I forgot this one. Because you might remember that in the episode, I had the breaking news, and I used the breaking news sound, and I said, in memory of the Big Fatty, the Little Fatty cast, and Big Fatty thanked me for stealing the breaking news sound, and also for mentioning the Little Fatty cast in memoriam. And I do miss it, actually. I miss the Little Fatty cast, and I also miss podcastsoup.net, because I relied on that to find a lot of podcasts to listen to, and also to keep up with the ones I couldn't keep up with myself. So, those are both great losses to the podcasting community. But Big Fatty has been on some other podcasts since then, including Archer's group shows. And hopefully I'm going to be able to join Archer and the gang in the first week of February on the group show. But we'll see how that goes. I can't promise that at this stage. But that's certainly the plan and the hope. And that's pretty much all I wanted to go over this week. Just a few odds and ends, really. Tell you a little bit about my birthday and about the funeral for Sir Ed. We're in the middle of summer now, so I might have some summer things to tell you about, or I may not. Summer is my favorite time of the year, as you may have gathered by now, but it's been very hot and humid in Auckland lately. although in where I grew up in Illinois, people always said, it's not the heat, it's the humidity, every summer, as if the humidity alone made all the difference. But that's it for this week. Please do leave me a comment at amrins.com, send an email to me at amrins@yahoo.com, or leave a message on my listener voicemail, which is 206-339-8413. That's all for this week, everybody. Talk to you again on Friday. I forgot for a minute. Talk to you soon. Bye.